Chapter 7, Ignorance. We may know when we have akusala cittas rooted in lopa, attachment, or akusala cittas rooted in dosa, aversion. But do we know when we have akusala cittas rooted in moha, ignorance? What is the characteristic of moha? We may think someone ignorant who does not have much education, who does not speak foreign languages, who does not know anything about history or politics. We call someone ignorant who does not know what is happening in the world. Is that the kind of ignorance which should be eradicated? If that were true, it would mean that there is more wholesomeness in one's life if one speaks foreign languages or if one knows about history and politics. We can find out that this is not true. In order to understand the characteristic of moha, we should know what we are ignorant of when there is moha. There is the world of concepts which in our daily, ordinary language are denoted by conventional terms, and there is the world of paramount dhammas, or ultimate realities. When we think of the concept which in conventional language is denoted by world, we may think of people, animals, and things, and we call them by their appropriate names. But do we know the phenomena in ourselves and around ourselves as they really are? Only nama and rupa, which do not last? The world of paramata dhammas is real. Nama and rupa are paramata dhammas. The namas and rupas which appear in our daily life can be directly experienced through the five sense doors and the mind door, no matter how we name them. This is the world which is real. When we see, there is the world of visible object. When we hear, there is the world of sound. When we experience an object through touch, there is the world of tangible object. Visible object and seeing are real. Their characteristics cannot be changed, and they can be directly experienced. It does not matter whether we call them visible object and seeing, or whether we give them another name. But when we cling to concepts which are denoted by conventional terms, such as tree or chair, we do not experience any characteristic of reality. What is real when we look at a tree? What can be directly experienced? Visible object is a paramata dhamma, a reality. It is a kind of rupa which can be directly experienced through the eyes. Through touch, hardness can be experienced. This is a kind of rupa which can be directly experienced through the body sense. It is real. Tree is a concept or idea of which we can think, but it is not a paramata dhamma, not a reality which has its own unchangeable characteristic. Visible object and hardness are paramata dhammas. They have their own characteristics which can be directly experienced, no matter how one names them. The world experienced through the six doors is real, but it does not last. It is impermanent. When we see, there is the world of the visible, but it falls away immediately. When we hear, there is the world of sound, but it does not last either. It is the same with the world of smell, the world of flavor, the world of tangible object, and the world of objects experienced through the mind door. However, we usually know only the world of concepts because ignorance and wrong view have been accumulated for so long. Ignorance of paramata dhammas is the kind of ignorance which should be eradicated. It brings sorrow. Ignorance conditions the wrong view of self and all other defilements. So long as there is ignorance, we are deluding ourselves. We do not know what our life really is, conditioned phenomena which arise and fall away. The world in the sense of paramata dhammas is in the teachings called the world in the Aryan sense. The Aryan has developed the wisdom which sees things as they really are. He truly knows the world. We read in the Kindred Sayings, Book 4, Salayatana Vaga, Kindred Sayings on Sense, Second 50, Chapter 4, Paragraph 84, Transitory, that Ananda said to the Buddha, and I quote, the world is the saying, Lord. Pray, how far, Lord, does the saying go? What is transitory by nature, Ananda, is called the world in the Aryan sense. And what, Ananda, is transitory by nature? The I, Ananda, is transitory by nature. Objects, tongue, mind is transitory by nature. Mind states, mind consciousness, mind contact. Whatsoever pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or indifferent feeling which arises owing to mind contact, that also is transitory by nature. What is thus transitory, Ananda, is called the world in the Aryan sense. End of quote. As a footnote, it says, the Pali text is abridged, but also included are the ear, the nose, the body sense, all realities appearing through the six doors. End of footnote. Someone may think that he can truly know himself without knowing the world as it appears through the six doors. He may think that he knows his anger and attachment, but in fact, he has not experienced them as they are, only different types of nama and not self. So long as he has wrong view of realities, he does not really know himself, and he cannot eradicate defilements. He clings to an idea, to the concept of self. He has not directly experienced any characteristic of reality. It is difficult to know when there are lopa, dosa, and moha, and it is difficult to be aware also of the more subtle degrees of akusala. When we start to develop insight, right understanding of realities, we realize how little we know ourselves. When there is moha, we live in darkness. It was the Buddha's great compassion which moved him to teach people Dhamma. Dhamma is the light which can dispel darkness. If we do not know Dhamma, we are ignorant about the world, about ourselves. We are ignorant about good and ill deeds and their results. We are ignorant about the way to eradicate defilements. The study of the Abhidhamma will help us to know more about the characteristic of moha. The Adisalini, Book 2, Part 9, Chapter 1, 249, states about moha, and I quote, delusion, moha, has the characteristic of blindness or opposition to knowledge, the essence of non-penetration, or the function of covering the intrinsic nature of the object, the manifestation of being opposed to right conduct or causing blindness, the proximate cause of unwise attention, and it should be regarded as the root of all akusala. End of quote. There are many degrees of moha. When we study Dhamma, we become less ignorant about realities. We understand more about Paramita Dhammas, about Gamma and Vipaka. However, this does not mean that we can already eradicate moha. Moha cannot be eradicated merely by thinking of the truth. It can only be eradicated by developing the wisdom which knows the world in the Aryan sense. Eye sense, visible object, seeing consciousness, ear sense, sound, hearing consciousness, and all realities appearing through the six doors. When we study the Abhidhamma, we learn that moha arises with all akusala cittas. Lopa mula cittas have moha and lopa as roots. Dosa mula cittas have moha and lopa as roots. There are two types of akusala citta which have moha as their only root. These are moha mula cittas. One type of moha mula citta is moha mula citta accompanied by doubt, in Pali, vichikicca, and one type is moha mula citta accompanied by restlessness, in Pali, udaka. The feeling which accompanies moha mula cittas is always indifferent feeling, upeka. When the citta is moha mula citta, there is no like or dislike. One does not have pleasant or unpleasant feeling. Both types of moha mula cittas are unprompted, asankarika. The characteristic of moha should not be confused with the characteristic of ditti, wrong view, which only arises with lopa mula cittas. When ditti arises, one takes, for example, what is impermanent for permanent, or one believes that there is a self. Moha is not wrong view, it is ignorance of realities. Moha conditions ditti, but the characteristic of moha is different from the characteristic of ditti. The two types of moha mula citta are: 1. Arising with indifferent feeling, accompanied by doubt. Upeka sahagatam, vichikicha sampayutam. 2. Arising with indifferent feeling, accompanied by restlessness. Upeka sahagatam, udaka sampayutam. When we have the type of moha mula citta, which is accompanied by doubt, we doubt about the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. Footnote: the Sangha is the order of monks, but it also means the Aryan Sangha, the noble persons who have attained enlightenment. End of footnote. We may doubt whether the Buddha really discovered the truth, whether he taught the path leading to the end of defilements, whether there are other people who can become enlightened as well. We may doubt about past and future lives, about karma and vipaka. There are many degrees of doubt. When we start to develop insight, we may have doubt about the reality of the present moment. We may doubt whether it is nama or rupa. For example, when there is hearing, there is sound as well. But there can be awareness of only one reality at a time, since only one object at a time can be experienced by citta. We may doubt whether the reality which appears at the present moment is the nama which hears or the rupa which is sound. Nama and rupa arise and fall away so rapidly, and when a precise understanding of their different characteristic has not been developed, one does not know which reality appears at the present moment. There will be doubt about the world of Paramattha Dhammas until Panya, wisdom, clearly knows the characteristics of Nama and Rupa as they appear through the six doors. The Adisalini, Book 2, Part 9, Chapter 3, 259, states about doubt, and I quote, "Here doubt means exclusion from the cure of knowledge, or one investigating the intrinsic nature by means of it suffers pain and fatigue, kichati. Thus it is doubt. It has shifting about as characteristic, mental wavering as function, indecision or uncertainty in grasp as manifestation, unsystematic thought, unwise intention as proximate cause, and it should be regarded as a danger to attainment." End of quote. Doubt is different from wrong view, ditti. When there is ditti, one clings, for example, to the view that phenomena are permanent or that they are self. When vichikicca, doubt, arises, one wonders whether the mind is different from the body or not, whether phenomena are permanent or impermanent. There is no other way to eradicate doubt but the development of panya, which sees realities as they are. People who have doubts about the Buddha and his teachings may think that doubt can be cured by studying historical facts. They want to find out more details about the time the Buddha lived and about the places where he moved about. They want to know the exact time the texts were written down. They cannot be cured of their doubt by studying historical events. This does not lead to the goal of the Buddha's teachings, which is the eradication of defilements. People in the Buddha's time, too, were speculating about things which do not lead to the goal of the teachings. They were wondering whether the world is finite or infinite, whether the world is eternal or not eternal, whether the Tathagata, the Buddha, exists after his final passing away or not. We read in the Lesser Discourse of Alunkiya, Middle Length Sayings 2, number 63, that Mulunkiyaputta was displeased that the Buddha did not give explanations with regard to speculative views. He wanted to question the Buddha on these views, and if the Buddha would not give him an explanation with regard to these views, he wanted to leave the order. He spoke to the Buddha about this matter, and the Buddha asked him whether he had ever said to Mulunkiyaputta, and I quote, "Come, you Mulunkiyaputta, fare the Brahma fare under me, and I will explain to you either that the world is eternal, or that the world is not eternal, or that the Tathagata is not after dying, both is, and is not after dying, neither is nor is not after dying," end of quote. As a footnote, the Brahma fearing is the holy life of the monk who develops the Eightfold Path in order to become an Arahat. In a wider sense, all those who develop the Eightfold Path leading to enlightenment, lay people included, are fearing the Brahma fearing. In Pali, Brahma Kariya, end of footnote. We read that Mulunkiyaputta answered, "No, revered sir." The Buddha also asked him whether he, Mulunkiyaputta, had said that he would fear the Brahma fearing under the Lord if the Lord would give him an explanation with regard to these views. And again, Mulunkiyaputta answered, "No, revered sir." The Buddha then compared his situation with the case of a man who is pierced by a poison arrow and who will not draw out the arrow until he knows whether the man who pierced him is a noble, a Brahmin, a merchant, or a worker, until he knows the name of the man and his clan, until he knows his outward appearance, until he knows about the bowstring, the material of the shaft, the kind of arrow. However, he will pass away before he knows all this. It is the same with the person who only wants to fear the Brahma fearing under the Lord, if explanations with regard to speculative views are given to him. We read that the Buddha said, and I quote, "The living of the Brahma fearing, Mulunkiyaputta, could not be said to depend on the view that the world is eternal. Nor could the living of the Brahma fearing, Mulunkiyaputta, be said to depend on the view that the world is not eternal. Whether there is a view that the world is eternal, or whether there is a view that the world is not eternal, there is birth, there is aging, there is dying, there are grief, sorrow, suffering, lamentation, and despair, the destruction of which I lay down here and now. Wherefore, Mulunkiyaputta, understand as not explained what has not been explained by me, and understand as explained what has been explained by me. And what, Mulunkiyaputta, has not been explained by me, that the world is eternal, that the world is not eternal, has not been explained by me. And why, Mulunkiyaputta, has this not been explained by me? It is because it is not connected with the goal. It is not fundamental to the Brahma fearing, and does not conduce to turning away from, nor to dispassion, stopping, calming, superknowledge, awakening, nor to Nibbana. Therefore, it has not been explained by me, Mulunkiyaputta. And what has been explained by me, Mulunkiyaputta? This is dukkha has been explained by me, Mulunkiyaputta. This is the arising of dukkha has been explained by me. This is the stopping of dukkha has been explained by me. This is the course leading to the stopping of dukkha has been explained by me. And why, Mulunkiyaputta, has this been explained by me? It is because it is connected with the goal. It is fundamental to the Brahma fearing and conduces to turning away from, to dispassion, stopping, calming, superknowledge, awakening, and Nibbana." End of quote. Doubt cannot be cured by speculating about matters which do not lead to the goal. It can only be cured by being aware of the nama and rupa which present themselves now. Even when there is doubt, this can be realized as only a type of nama which arises because of conditions and which is not self. Thus the reality of the present moment will be known more clearly. The second type of moha mula citta is accompanied by indifferent feeling arising with restlessness, upeka, sahagatam, udaka, sampayutam. Udaka is translated as restlessness or excitement. Udaka arises with all akusala cittas. When there is udaka, there is no sati, mindfulness with the citta. Sati arises with each wholesome citta. It is mindful, non-forgetful of what is wholesome. There is sati not only in vipassana, the development of right understanding of realities, but also with each kind of kusala. There is sati when one performs dana, generosity, observes sila, good moral conduct, or applies oneself to bhavana, mental development, which comprises studying or teaching the Dharma, the development of samatha, tranquil meditation, and vipassana. Sati in vipassana is aware of a characteristic of nama or rupa. When there is udaka, the citta cannot be wholesome. One cannot at that moment apply oneself to dana, sila, or bhavana. Udaka distracts the citta from kusala. Udaka is restlessness with regard to kusala. Thus, udaka is different from what we, in conventional language, mean by restlessness. Udaka arises also with the moha mula citta, which is accompanied by doubt, since it arises with each akusala citta. The second type of moha mula citta, however, is called udaka sampayuta. It is different from the first type of moha mula citta, which is called vichikicca sampayuta. The second type of moha mula citta, the moha mula citta which is udaka sampayuta, accompanied by restlessness, arises countless times a day, but it is difficult to know its characteristic. If one has not developed vipassana, one does not know this type of citta. When we are forgetful of realities and daydreaming, there is not necessarily this type of citta. When we are daydreaming, there is not only the second type of moha mula citta, udaka sampayuta, but there may also be lopa mula cittas, cittas rooted in attachment, and dosa mula cittas, cittas rooted in aversion. Moha mula citta can arise on account of what we experience through the five sense doors and through the mind door. When, for example, we have heard sound, moha mula citta may arise. When the second type of moha mula citta, which is udaka sampayuta, arises, there is ignorance and forgetfulness with regard to the object which is experienced at that moment. We may not see the danger of this type of citta, since it is accompanied by indifferent feeling and thus less obvious. However, all kinds of akusala are dangerous. Moha is dangerous. It is the root of all akusala. When we are ignorant of realities, we accumulate a great deal of akusala. Moha conditions lopa. When we do not know realities as they are, we become absorbed in the things we experience through the senses. Moha also conditions dosa. When we are ignorant of realities, we have aversion towards unpleasant experiences. Moha accompanies each akusala citta, and it conditions all 10 kinds of akusala gama patha, killing, stealing, lying, etc., which are accomplished through body, speech, and mind. Only when there is mindfulness of the realities which appear through the six doors, the panya is developed which can eradicate moha. The Sotapanna, the stream winner who has attained the first stage of enlightenment, has eradicated the moha mula citta, which is accompanied by doubt, vichikicca. He has no more doubts about Paramahansa Dhammas. He knows the world in the Aryan sense. He has no doubts about the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. He has no doubts about the path leading to the end of defilements. The Sotapanna, the Sakadagami, the once returner who has attained the second stage of enlightenment, and the Anagami, the non-returner who has attained the third stage of enlightenment, still have the type of Mohamulicitta accompanied by Udaka, restlessness. Only the Arahat has eradicated all Akusala. Ignorance is not seeing the true characteristics of realities, not knowing the Four Noble Truths. Out of ignorance, one does not see the First Noble Truth, the truth of dukkha. One does not realize the nama and rupa which appear as impermanent, and therefore one does not see them as dukkha unsatisfactory. One does not know the Second Noble Truth, the origin of dukkha, which is craving. Because of clinging to nama and rupa, there is no end to the cycle of birth and death, and thus there is no end to dukkha. One does not know the noble truth of the cessation of dukkha, which is nibbana. One does not know the noble truth of the way leading to the cessation of dukkha, which is the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is developed through vipassana. We read in the kindred sayings about Jambhukadaka, paragraph 9, that Jambhukadaka asked Sariputta, and I quote, "Ignorance, ignorance, is the saying, friend Sariputta. Pray, what is ignorance? Not understanding about dukkha, friend, not understanding about the arising of dukkha, the ceasing of dukkha, the way leading to the ceasing of dukkha, this, friend, is called ignorance. But is there any way, friend, any approach to the abandoning of this ignorance? There is indeed a way, friend, to such abandoning. And what, friend, is that way, that approach to the abandoning of this ignorance? It is this Aryan Eightfold Path, friend." End of quote. The Aryan Eightfold Path leads to the eradication of moha. Questions for Chapter 7. 1. What is ignorance? Why should it be eradicated? 2. How can it be eradicated? 3. When there is doubt, vichikicca, about realities, is there moha as well? 4. On account of experiences, through which doors can moha arise? End of Chapter 7.